These all died in faith, not having received the promises. In chapter 11, I'd like you to begin with me. And verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But this is by faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He looked unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about seven days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, that is, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds, chains, and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, a good testimony through faith, received not the promise, received not that which was promised. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, apart from us, should not be made complete. And we know that our God will bless the reading of his holy and perfect word. Let us look unto him once again. Our Heavenly Father and our Lord, we know that thou hast thine own true church, that it is thine own work, that it is not of our doing. But thou hast appointed the means, and thou hast appointed that we exemplify those means and be faithful with them. And thou hast appointed to gather thy church, that it shall endure unto the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that the very gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're not worthy of the least of these things, even the knowledge of them. But thou hast called us that we might be thy triumphant church. We know, O Lord, that the faith which thou hast given us is that which overcomes the world, that by it we overcome ourselves. We ask, O Lord, that thou would strengthen our faith by the hearing of the word of life. I pray for those who are not able to be with here, and not able to be here this moment, that the portion that is ours may be theirs. Grant health and strength and wisdom to thy people. O Lord, manifest that thou hast loved us. Vindicate thy gospel, even in the hearing of the word of life, that we may worship thee, even today, in the hearing. For it is in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. To obtain a better resurrection. There's an interesting idea. There's a hope, one hope of our calling. The resurrection out from among the dead. The out-resurrection from among the dead. As Paul says, that I might live worthy of that calling. That I might exemplify, in other words, that character. Well, now, I have to tell you, when I was in the military, I don't know that the tactics are too much different today, but at the end of the matter, we had the standard kind of obstacle course. But the parameters of the obstacle course, they weren't the same. Now, the first time through, I have to describe this course, because as you came through, there was a test they emphasized for the unit. And there were culvert pipes. There were rope bridge. Do you know about the rope bridge? A swift little nasty stream underneath there, deep, but and the rope bridge, and it has just one rope at the bottom, and it has two up here, and it has these other ropes that go up the other side. Do you want to cross those bridges? Well, it had those, but this one had these log beams, and it had tires. And the tires, if you pushed on one and made the other, these were not just regular tires. There were tractor tires and earth mover type tires. And if you didn't do this right, by the way, it was a time test, and it was for the unit. And of course, it had the big wall set up there. It had this little run up with soil, and then you had the great big wooden beam wall up there, and you had to get over the top of that, and you had to go through the tires. And you had to go through the whole course, and at the end of the course, by the way, there was trip-up targets, and you didn't know, when you went through, you actually broke a beam. But one of those targets, it might be the one at 25 meters, or it might be the one that looked like it was maybe 75 or 100 meters out there. And then there was one out there that was, I think, 250 or 300 meters. It was a full-size man target out there. We didn't know which was going to come up. But after, of course, at the end of the thing, they had the little bayonet thing at the very end, because they have to do that just as part of the course. But you understand how the courses worked? Well, and that first course day, there was one really athletic, tough little guy that came along. He was older than most of us in the basic training, but he was plenty tough. And he came through and timed himself through all of that gauntlet. And he came whipping all the way through all of the course of things. And he was by far the first. And he came out at the other end, and there was a sergeant first class on the other end out there, and said, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I made it through the course." He said, "This is a unit test. What do you think you are, army of one?" That was the biggest put down, by the way. "Army of one? An army of one is a dead man," he said to him, just like Artney's face. "You get that unit I want the whole unit here. The time is not for you, it's for the unit. Oh, that's rough. Oh, yeah. But there was another, we had another platoon sergeant. He understood some interesting things about this. But we flopped it. But when the unit went through, well, there were some guys. We had three guys that were really good with the rifle, never missed. You didn't want to mess them up. They had a scheme. It was a unit test. It wasn't an individual. Well, at the top of where that little run-up of land came up, where that wall goes up, well, these guys came in there, and there were three of them, and one on top, and they made the wonderful steps, and just built the stairs, and you stepped right on their pelvis. You didn't just tenderly, you didn't stop on anybody, but those guys just went flying right over that. And furthermore, on the rope bridge, if you guys went over one at a time, and it was a one at a time thing because it's thinking side, and there were guys who were heavier than others. But they noticed that nobody could make it across that stream. By the way, if you upended in that stream, you lost your gear, you had a tough time getting back out. But if we got two heavy guys, one on one side and one on the other, so that they took this guy and they just grabbed him by the wrist, and they literally flung him out there holding him in the current, and he put out his hand on the other side, and the other guy jerked him through. While the little guys went over the bridge, these guys were passing them through the water. Well, you did it a whole lot faster. You put it together. And not only that, when you came along to the pop-up targets, well, it was just the pop-up target that we left the three guys, the excellent shots there. One was the guy that got the close one. He was just sighted in on that. One was the guy that got the middle one. Another one got the end. It didn't matter whose bullet got it there. At the end of the matter, every time that target came up, the guys who came through, of course, they were just winded. Anyway, but if you had the guys, the preliminary guys, and they stopped and stationed when they got their wind, they were all sighted in. When as soon as that target came up, he nailed it. And the other guy nailed that one. Just one for each one of those targets. Every time he came up, he got that. And you know, they got all the targets. They got everybody through that unit. They got all the record time. Made it over the stream. Oh, about the tires? Ah, that wasn't so tough either. They got four guys that climbed up there and put their feet on those tires and held them so everybody else ran through. And by the way, it's a wonderful time. The unit got through. It's called improvise. What did they say? Improvise adapt and overcome. And the unit got through. Please understand that this Hebrews is about another thing. If you're born of God and you have gone through the torn veil of Christ's flesh, you have heard the call of the gospel, and you ceased from your own works. You counted them the filthiest of rags. You condemned yourself and them, and you rested completely on Christ's works by the call of the gospel, and you stepped into the holiest of all only on Christ's blood and His works, and you trusted in that, and you placed your soul there, and now you're a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. You have obeyed the gospel. But there's something else. If you have obeyed the gospel, Hebrews has a theme. Those people all are the church. They wouldn't dream of forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is, because if you have the Spirit that lays hold of all of this and believes the gospel, guess what? That same Spirit is the one that submits to those that have authority over you, who loves to submit. That same Spirit that takes care. By the way, when you're in the church, why do you forsake not the assembly of yourselves together? Oh, to provoke one another unto love and to good works and to give. Oh, yeah. This whole church, do you know that this whole church helps itself? Oh yeah, the faithful people that are there. Some people think they went to church to get their private little bennies and just go home. You know, it's a nice little... That has nothing to do with it. If you didn't come to church to provoke others to love and to good works, to submit to one another and bind one another in love. And to, if you didn't come there to build the faith and strengthen the other person that was there, according to my Bible, you didn't come to church. And where this church is, it's going to get everybody through. That's what that's about. It's not who follows you. It's that they all follow the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, when I said we won the second time going through there, did we cheat? No, there was no rules there. The rule was to get the unit through and to use. People had talents in one area. People had talents in another. We won hands down the second time. And the FFC on the other side said, you lads, I think there's hope for you. You're going to be an army yet. They didn't really go overboard to compliment anybody. But you finally got the point, in other words. And when you get that, but by the way, you have people who come to church all the time. And they're supposed to be strangers and pilgrims. Did Moses make it through there alone? Did he have elders? Did he happen to have a Joshua that came along? Did he have? Oh, did David make it alone? If it hadn't been for Abigail to save his bacon, did you know that he would have lost the kingdom and lost the works? Stepped in right at the moment. Who stepped in when you would have dropped the ball? And loved you when you were the most unlovable. Oh, yeah, you get the idea that this is a real church. It's so far removed from the telephone ministry. Gossip, I want to find out where I fit in. Give me the gift and I'm going to tell stories on. I want you to know that the Lord eliminates all of those people. They're not His church. But the Lord has a church. They're strangers and pilgrims. And you know what he says? If they have this, he's not ashamed to call them his people. He's not ashamed to be their God. If they don't understand this concept, what does it say? They're not his. He won't put his name on them. This would be living an interesting day of idolatry today. Where we just say a little prayer. And we just go through the motions and we just go to... It has nothing to do with that. It has something to do with being the church. It has everything to do with those people who, if you're going to do that, here's Moses. He has all of the riches of Egypt at his disposal. If he had played the game, well, it's quite likely he would have ended up as Pharaoh. At least he would have been high in that court. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ. To suffer reproach with the people of God. That, not the reward at the end. It was the reproach of Christ that was greater riches. Oh, but he had respect unto a better resurrection, didn't it? And that's the theme of that. The only way that anybody partakes of the promises of Israel. And by the way, that's what it is. The Gentiles get grafted in and they're partakers of that. We were talking to somebody last night about the rapture. It's a promise to Israel. It's the first resurrection when Israel comes and inherits its lot. Daniel chapter 12. That's how we get that. And in fact, all of the New Testament is how we get all of the things that are promised in the Old Testament. Only one deserved them. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He owned them. Possessed them all. He didn't keep them for himself. He died the just for the unjust. He has that right then to give us all of that with promise. So if somebody's making up other little stories and say, well, you know, there are three raptures. There are two. There's all. They don't understand what the nature of the Bible is. Don't make up stories. This is how we get grafted in to partake of all of those promises. And Daniel, by the way, he's going to stand in his inheritance. You see, he was a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. What did he get out of the deal? What did Moses get out of the deal? He was a stranger and a pilgrim. When this first resurrection takes place, that's the better resurrection. The Jews that were faithful, the ones that we read about, the children of Israel here, they're not going to be strangers and pilgrims anymore. They're going to be owners. As we may mention last time, there are key references. Hebrews chapter 11 should have, and it started out with the matter, it should have added, since it says, by faith they sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange, a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with Abraham of the same promise. What was that promise? If you didn't write that in your margin, you should write it down. Genesis 13, 15, Genesis 26, 3, Genesis 28, 4 through or 4 and 13. If you write those down, I will tell you that there's this unique promise given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who are strangers and pilgrims who can wait. Because they personally, to thee will I give this land. It's promised to them. Did they possess any of it yet? He said, no, but they shall. And when are they going to do that? In that better resurrection. Is everything expendable to that end? And why will they inherit it then? Is that for themselves? No, it's for the Lord's glory. And so, those who shall be accounted worthy, Jesus said, to obtain that age, even the resurrection out from among the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Did you know that the heaven is going to receive? It said, whom the heaven must receive, this Jesus who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things. Does it sound like he's going to come before the tribulation or after? Oh, he's going to come at the time of the restoration of all things. Is he going to, they're going to restore the kingdom unto Israel at that time. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob going to possess the land. Oh, those are the promises. By the way, what if he didn't keep his promises to the Jews? What if Abraham didn't actually possess the land ever? And Isaac and Jacob, they got a new heaven and a new earth, but they didn't possess it ever. Oh, he sealed those promises, by the way, with an oath. And those people actually preach a God who is an oath breaker. That's horrifying. That's unbelief. And so, in Hebrews, when you come in through the torn veil, you come in to the holiest of all, when you come in there, there are two immutable things. Remember, do you know what those are? There are the promises sealed by an oath to Abraham. That's everlasting. But that's all that he promised to Abraham, sealed by an oath. And the other one is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, immutable things. By the way, is Melchizedek still alive? How many mediators are there between God and men? Oh, this is the unchangeable. That's why it's better than the Levitical priesthood. Better covenant, because it is the priesthood of the King of righteousness, the King of peace. It is that one. And we partake of all of that. And so what do you expect? This is the message. What do we expect of those people who are strangers and pilgrims in the earth? You look at the record. What did these people have to show for it? Prophets sawn asunder. They were stoned. What did this fellow by faith? This is Naboth. He was dragged out. All he was faithful to two literal, I'm taking it in the most literal sense, two sentences in all of the law of Moses, and he wouldn't sell his vineyard to Ahab. And Jezebel made sure that she forged the letters and got him stoned, dragged out of the city, and stoned. And all the men, what did he have to show for it? Well, you said, Edward, he was faithful. He waited for a better resurrection. These all died in the faith. These all, having obtained a good testimony, verse 39, through faith, received not that which was promised. Received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, apart from us, should not be made perfect. Notice the end of the chapter. What is this better thing? Paul was counted the offscouring of all things. He was beaten, battered, bruised, stoned, rejected by the churches, stood alone. But he had it better, didn't he? It didn't matter, Edward. Edward, there's one thing we require of you, simply that you're faithful. And that you love the Lord with thanksgiving. And if you die faithful, whether you live or die, you are just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. Don't ever give up. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ. We have expectations of you, Edward, because we don't expect anything more of you than we expect of ourselves. Nevertheless, we don't expect you, Edward, to make it. One of the reasons we come to church is not just for our benefit, it's actually for yours. And vice versa, because we understand the concept. Because we don't have that concept in his church. So we understand what we have to show for it. Some better thing. Well, one of the things we have better. What do we have better? Well, that's a theme. Better thing is the theme of the book of Hebrews right there. It's in that verse. You see, we don't have any more memorial of sin. It's perfectly satisfied. We don't have any remembrance. There are some churches that you go and they have no instrumentation and they sing psalms, but they sing them in a dirge because they're mourning. They don't understand that we don't memorialize sin. This is the festive assembly. We don't memorialize sin. It is satisfied and finished. Is the law completely paid out? Yes, we're complete in Christ. Are we saved from dead works? Yes, it's a theme of this book. So we don't do anything motivated out of guilt, not motivated out of memorials of sin and death. We don't get shamed into coming to church. Because it's all we have, that better fellowship. And if you love me, keep my commandments. What do we have? Well, we have the very witness of the Spirit of God. That will never depart from us. That all of these words are true. That all of the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. And we cry, Abba Father, because we are his congregation. And he describes it. That better thing. That they, without us. Did Jeremiah know when he was writing those things down that he wasn't writing them just for the people that were there? But he was primarily writing them for us. Did Isaiah know these are rejected, despised people, that they were writing that down for us? Can you imagine going to church with you? Yeah, well, that's Old Testament, you know. Oh, no. They're written for us, for strangers and pilgrims, and all of those trials are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Did they ever expect to inherit the land? Did Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, at the end of the matter? Did they expect to inherit the land apart from us? Now, even the psalmist says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people, that you are going to solo, you are going to pluck strings and sing joyously all over the world. You're going to play music and sing and rejoice in the promises of Israel, and it's your identity. Hallelujah. By the way, if you are that person, what does he expect of you? Does he expect you to have your own little selfish agenda? To have your own little ministry for yourself? Does he expect you to have your own little innovative approach? No, no. These are the people who are spared from the vanity of all of that and rejoice to strengthen the hands and help one another. They are the ones that rejoice to pray one with another. They're either going to do it together, all that the Lord has instituted, or they're not going to do it at all. And all of those people, they have said by their deeds. By the way, did you notice that's a theme of this chapter also? They said by their deeds that they seek a better resurrection, that here they have nothing continuing. They're glad to be a stranger and a pilgrim here. They're glad to spend and be spent. All of the people that we read about here, they put their life on the line daily. This is not this is so far removed from the, you know, we have our comfortable little family and we have our nice little image and we have our nice house and we have our nice little Christian community and we have all of our nice little things, and Christ died so that we can have it nice and have nice things and have nice friends and have nice, and it's all a matter of getting our nice things. And if you say anything, Pastor, that upsets our nice ideal picture, well, then you have to go, because we're going to get a pastor who's a cheerleader that congratulates us in our, we're called to niceness. You say, no, Pastor, I understand that none of those people had niceness. I had a church history teacher that looked at me and said, Edward, you've looked and we've been reading about the moderates. Now, they made about people, they believed in moderatism. How many moderates were blessed of God? How many were used in any reformation or work? How many did anything in the history of the church? Show me a moderate that was actually. And I went, oh no. None of the people that are blessed of God in the scriptures, and none of the people that are blessed of God in the history of the church, were moderates. They were sold out for the Lord's glory. They never had a nice time here, except that they had the joy of fellowship. They did have friends. They did have joy of fellowship, not only here, but with those who had gone before. Oh yeah, that's how the chapter works. And Jesus, the author and completer of our faith. And here's the race, and he's there with the garland, there with the wreath, the crown of victory, and with open arms. And here are all the spectators, the witnesses of those gone before, and they're looking on. And you run with perseverance that race. And you're either doing that, or you're one of those people who fall back, who lag. How did laggers go? No. These are the people who are described. And they got all these examples that went before, and they are strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Oh. And your prayer is, Lord, make me a faithful stranger and pilgrim. Make it evident that I am of thy body, and that with the same care that I care about my faith, I care about my brother and his faith. I care about those who are faithful partakers of this communion, those who are members of this body. Deliver us from the dabblers, the users and abusers. Grant that we may have, now grant that we may be his church. May the Lord bless the exhortation of this word. Let us look at it once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our Lord, we know that thou art our God. We know, O Heavenly Father, that thou hast called us unto this fellowship. O Lord, grant that our faith may be seen by our works. Lord, we ask of thee that thou would overrule our failings, that thou would bless the word, and that this day we may be found thy strangers and pilgrims, and that we may have respect unto that better resurrection. Lord, we ask that we may live worthy of that calling. Use thy word to that end, for we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And in closing, we're going to stand and sing 10 songs.